It's time for Good Health, an opportunity to hear from our local healthcare community about the most current medical topics and how they relate to your healthy lifestyle. Good Health is brought to you by Good Shepherd Healthcare System. Now let's welcome our host, Caitlin Kozad.
Good morning and welcome to Good Health Live, brought to you by Good Shepherd Healthcare System. I am your host, Caitlin Kozad, and joining me this morning, I have Dr. Stuart Sweena. He's a family medicine physician that we look forward to having you get to know about his practice and how long he's been serving the patients here at Good Shepherd. How are you doing this morning, Dr. Sweena?
Very good, thank you.
Good, thank you for being here with us. So tell me a little bit about your background. I'd like to know how you came about to being at Good Shepherd.
Okay, well, I was practicing. My initial practice out of residency was in Chehalis, Washington. And through a turn of events, I was not real satisfied at that time there. It was for several reasons, but so happened that one of our neighbors there was the daughter of Dr. Milton Johnson, who was a longtime physician in the Hermiston area. And it was about the time he was retiring, and the group was looking for recruiting another physician. His daughter heard that we were looking and contacted them, and they invited me to come interview to work in Hermiston. And we came. We liked what we saw, but we really liked it where we were at, too, as far as the living area and so forth, and decided, actually turned them down the first time. But about a year later, we were wishing we had accepted that offer, and word got back to Hermiston, and Dr. Doug Flays gave me a call and invited me again. We came down, and I tried not to sound too excited on the phone when he invited me, but I really was about coming to Hermiston. So we moved to Hermiston in February, or actually moved in January of 1992, started work in February of that year.
Fantastic. And so I understand that you worked in the ER, correct?
Yes. About 2009, my boys were starting college at the time, and with the increased expenses, I decided to go work initially per diem in the ER, and continued that, and actually increased to 10 shifts a month, and hired a nurse practitioner in my office for a while. And then around the time after they graduated, I ended up resigning that position and going back to primary care. They invited me. They were really wanted me to come back, though, to do at least per diem, and I agreed to do that. And so basically I did that until from about 2012-13 time frame. In 2014, I decided to close the practice and just do full-time ER, which I did until last September. October 15. It was my last day there.
Fantastic.
I decided I needed to slow down a little bit and go back to primary care.
I understand. Well, tell us about your education background. So family medicine, and then also maybe you could talk about lifestyle medicine, as I understand that's one of your specialties.
Yes. I went to medical school at Loma Linda University in Southern California and residency at Florida Hospital in Orlando, Florida for my family medicine training, and graduated there in 1982. Mm-hmm. Practiced 6.5 years in Chehalis before coming to Hermiston, as I alluded to earlier. I've always had kind of an interest in how lifestyle factors affect medicine, and learned probably in the around 2014 about the American College of Lifestyle Medicine. Mm-hmm. Attended a conference there and learned about they had a subcommittee that started the American Board of Lifestyle Medicine, which is a new specialty. Their first board exam was in 2017, which I qualified for, and then took the exam, became board certified in lifestyle medicine.
Fantastic. And so I understand that that contributed to your passion of pursuing that more as you've slowed down a little bit, but then to go into urgent care, right? Can you tell us about that?
Well, lifestyle medicine, I saw lifestyle medicine actually. One of the reasons I went back, wanted to get back in primary care especially was, you know, with this COVID crisis over the past year, seeing a lot of patients. And, you know, when you look at the risk factors for severe disease with that, include chronic diseases, diabetes, hypertension, coronary disease, COPD, mm-hmm. all of which can be helped significantly, in some cases reversed, with lifestyle medicine. Mm. And, you know, 99.6% of cases that die from COVID mm-hmm. have at least one of those chronic diseases, or one of the risk factors being age over 65 also.
Wow.
But usually one or two of those diseases significantly increases the risk. And lifestyle medicine, like I mentioned, can significantly impact reducing the risk of that too, as well as those chronic diseases and the toll that they bring, and disability and death.
So you're now at Good Shepherd Urgent Care. Where is your office located? Are you over at the Columbia Professional Plaza?
Yes, I'm working out of the urgent care, Good Shepherd Urgent Care, where I see both urgent care patients and primary care patients.
Fantastic. How do you like it over there so far?
I like it really well. No more night shifts in the ER, for one thing.
Yes, I can imagine. So tell us a little bit about your experience in the ER and, you know, if you still use some of those tools and what you do now.
It was a growing experience for me, a challenge. I learned a lot as I went too, and I think the experience in seeing both sides of cases, you know, what can be done in the ER for patients and what the need of that is versus the primary care's main aim is to keep people healthy, mm-hmm. to hopefully have them avoid having to go to the ER.
Exactly.
And the big need in this community for more primary care, mm-hmm. also.
Absolutely. Yes, we're so glad to have you over at the urgent care, and we were so glad to have you at the ER too. So what a wonderful journey. And so Dr. Sweena, maybe you could explain a little more in depth about what kind of medical conditions a patient would have that would come see you in the urgent care versus the medical conditions they might have if they were to come see you for lifestyle medicine.
So in the urgent care, is there basically to treat patients that have urgent conditions like injuries, acute illness that's not life-threatening, for instance. We do, as long as this COVID thing is going on, do COVID testing. They have, and basically would call in and they would set up appointments for the appropriate thing there. We see them in urgent care and refer them back to their primary provider for follow-up. But if they're not able to, the urgent care would be there for those who are not able to get in to their primary care provider in for an urgent condition. They don't have time to wait for an appointment, for instance. Mm-hmm. They could come see us in urgent care and then follow up with their primary doctor afterwards. If someone doesn't have a primary doctor, until my practice fills up, mm-hmm. they could be referred to me for establishing medical care for primary care.
Fantastic.
Also.
And then that's where the lifestyle medicine piece comes into play.
Yes.
Can.
Yes. When I see a patient the first time, we do a fairly extensive, not just past medical history, family history, social history, but also lifestyle history, getting a little bit of information about what their nutritional habits are, what their activity habits as far as exercise and so forth, how stressed they are, how connected they are to family, friends, church, etc. And then do a review of systems, physical exam, and then basically address specific concerns that they have, particularly have a particular interest and motivation for addressing. Also, we may share lifestyle information that they may or may not be aware of. Mm-hmm. If they're not aware of it, it can be an educational thing for how they could perhaps have better health in general.
Yeah. It sounds very much like a collaboration between both of you to meet the needs of the patient and inspire them and educate them at the same time. So that's fantastic. So do you offer any telemedicine right now for your primary care patients?
We're actually in the process of getting that up and running. We do telephone consults, particularly because of the contagiousness of COVID for patients that have that. And at this point, if they have signs or symptoms that need more in-person evaluation, they often then are referred over to the ER in case they were having a condition that might be life-threatening or so forth. But we're setting up to do telemedicine with a telemedicine program. We're not quite there yet, but I hope to be using that in the future also.
Fantastic. And you do have translators there, right? So you could serve the patients that might, you know, only speak Spanish.
Yes, Spanish and even other languages that nowadays they have, like in the ER, they have actually a service on a computer where they have interpretation services. Mm-hmm. And they have multiple languages, actually, that are available. So if someone speaks Arabic or a dialect from another country in South America, or similar to it's a similar program, but the same program that they use in the ER for interpreting. We also do have some Spanish-speaking employees.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. So I'm going to kind of backtrack a little bit here. I think it's an important thing to ask. So a lot of times patients will be confused about where they should go with some of their more urgent care needs. Should they go to the ER or should they go to the urgent care? Maybe you could help define that fine line here for us.
Well, the first thing they should do if they have a primary care physician is contact their primary care physician and find out if it's something they can get them, work them in for right away, or if it's something that needs either urgent care or ER care. If they don't have a primary care, they can certainly call. There are sometimes cases where patients come in like with chest pain or heart issues that we end up having to send them over to the ER for definitive treatment too. But if they have a history of heart disease and they're having chest pain, they should go to the ER for evaluation because we're not set up to do quite the same evaluation for an emergent chest pain issue that the ER is.
Mm-hmm.
If they had a minor laceration or something like that, we could deal with that. If they have skin abscess or other skin infections or GI problems and haven't been having profuse diarrhea and are likely dehydrated, if they're likely to need IV treatment, they probably should go to the ER. But otherwise we can probably deal with it.
And the urgent care has x-rays there on site?
Yes, we have x-rays and we have lab. We can schedule or refer for other imaging if it's not, if there was something emergent to get, if they're concerned about having a stroke, they should go to the ER.
Yes.
Because they can give treatments there if it's within a three-hour window, or sometimes it can go up to 4 hours that can actually reverse an acute stroke if they're having that. And they have the imaging available to rapidly evaluate those conditions. We don't have that in the ER. So if they're concerned about having a stroke and it's just started, they should go to the ER. If they've had symptoms and didn't go in and it's been a few days, then it might be reasonable to come into the urgent care. But
so your recommendation is to call their primary care provider,
right,
and get the facts. But you know, if it's a medical emergency, absolutely they should go to the ER. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's happening after hours, that's resources available to our community 24/7 and every day of the year. So, yeah, well, thank you for explaining that to us. So maybe you could tell us about the other physicians and FNPs that you work with at Good Shepherd Urgent Care, Dr. Sweena.
So we have a group of experienced and excellent providers there that can provide urgent care services when the primary care physician, including myself, if I'm booked up or busy, they could see my patients and other urgent care patients. There's Dr. Matthew Carlson, Dr. Jim Johnson, Sarah Trask, Dr. Daniel Buck, and nurse practitioner Irma Mendoza, all of which do an excellent job.
Oh, fantastic. It sounds like a great team. So, what is the age range of patients that you can care for?
From birth to death. I don't do OB care now. I did for many years, but other than obstetrical care, I do the broad spectrum of family medicine. And for cases that need specialty care, I would refer for consultation or treatment where needed.
Excellent. So getting back to primary care and lifestyle medicine, what are some of the treatments that you provide for both?
So in primary care, of course, there's medications, there's exercise is also recommended, and nutrition. With lifestyle medicine, which basically is that we use evidence-based therapeutic lifestyle change as a means of kind of a foundational basis for health. Sometimes medications may be needed in addition to that. Sometimes it can be very effective in and of itself, depending on the situation. But conditions like type 2 diabetes, for instance, which has insulin resistance as a underpinning of its condition, the nutrition, particularly unrefined plant-based nutrition, and exercise, getting adequate sleep, stress reduction are all very important, because all of those things can worsen, can elevate blood sugars and worsen control. So if you have some underlying lifestyle habit that's kind of shooting yourself in the foot, you might require a lot more medication than you would otherwise. And sometimes I've seen patients with type 2 diabetes, early type 2 diabetes, get their hemoglobin A1C down from about 9.5 or 6 down to 6.3 without medication.
Wow.
In the past. Mm-hmm. Cholesterol also can be lowered. Lifestyle can be as effective as medications for lowering cholesterol. Mm-hmm. There are always exceptions, but as a rule, high blood pressure is significantly responsive to various lifestyle interventions, exercise, nutrition, as is actually coronary heart disease, which has been shown to be able to be reversed. Back in the early 1990s, Dr. Dean Ornish, at the University of California, I believe San Francisco, demonstrated reversal of coronary heart disease in a controlled study that was published back then. Since then, others have replicated that. Caldwell Esselstyn is a doctor who's done that. And turns out that the same interventions that reverse that also tend to reverse diabetes, improve cholesterol, improve high blood pressure, reduce the risk of cancer and can be an adjunct in treatment of certain cancers, not all, but certain cancers. Even there's a study going on that Dr. Ornish is doing right now on Alzheimer's disease and reversing early Alzheimer's disease. There's some evidence that that may be a possibility early on in that process.
That is amazing. It's so interesting to learn about lifestyle medicine. I feel like it's not a topic that we know a whole lot about. It's not prominent in you know, education as much as it should be probably. And I definitely think that you walk the talk when it comes to lifestyle medicine, because I learned that you walk to work every day.
Yes, that's
correct.
Is that
true? Yeah. So what are some of your hobbies outside of work that you could share with us?
Oh, I enjoy a lot of outdoor activities with family, hiking, backpacking, water skiing when I get a chance to, snow skiing. Let's see. There's probably others. I've had a hobby years ago that I haven't done in years, but of digital electronics, actually building little circuits and little single board computers and so forth.
Yeah.
But haven't had the opportunity to do that in recent years, and technology has advanced much since then, so probably it's not something I do now. But
well, I have to ask you, so when you said water skiing, does that mean that you like to slalom ski by chance?
Oh yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, I feel like that's a dying breed.
I've tried wakeboarding and I was able to get up, but I didn't like the twist you had to do to your body to to do that one. And so I prefer jumping the wake with a slalom ski rather than with a wakeboard.
Oh, you jump the wake with the slalom ski. Well, that's ambitious. Well, Dr. Sweena, it's been a pleasure having you here with us today. And is there anything else that you would like to share with our community now that you're over at the Good Shepherd Urgent Care and offering primary care and seeing urgent care patients at the same time? What would you like to say?
Well, I think the most important thing is to don't delay your care. If you're having a health concern, come in. Come into either your primary physician if that's available, or we're open and available if need be to in urgent care or primary care at Good Shepherd, located at the urgent care location. There are also providers that are available for new patients at the Good Shepherd Primary Care Clinic, so there's a lot of opening availability right now for establishing with a doctor, if you don't already have a doctor, to be able to find a provider that you click with or that you like. So I would encourage you, if you haven't got a primary care provider, check these possibilities out.
Yes, so the Good Shepherd Urgent Care, where Dr. Stuart Sweena is located, they are open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. They're open Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., and Sunday, 8 a.m. to noon. So they're open 7 days a week at Good Shepherd Urgent Care. And for Dr. Sweena's primary care practice, which includes lifestyle medicine specialty, he has availability Monday through Thursday, 8 a.m. to noon, and 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. So, Dr. Sweena, thank you so much for being here with us today. It has been a pleasure to get to know you and understand your practice and all of those great details for our community to be able to establish primary care and be able to come in for urgent care at any time that they may need it. Thank you so much for explaining all of that.
Thank you. My privilege. Thank you.
This is Good Health Live, brought to you by Good Shepherd Healthcare System. Stay well.